Today on Doomed! It is midnight on Thursday, August 30th, 2018. And we are coming to you live from New York. Like a late night, you know, like a late night talk show. Except I'm not Jimmy Fallon, nor am I Stephen Colbert. Or, I don't know, who else is there? Jimmy Kimmel? Yeah. So this is a last minute episode of Doomed, if you can't tell, by me rambling about basically trying to remember which late night talk shows are currently the ones who are on air. And I'm a bit tired. You're probably a bit tired. But today's a special day. Let me pull up the feed here. Here we go. No guest. This is episode 30 of Doomed. Yeah, it's going to count as an official episode of Doomed. Because why not, right? Why not? And I've been, Worked a day of writing stories for Mashable, you know, then watched the debate between Cynthia Nixon and Andrew Cuomo, the one and only New York governor debate. Did some, grabbing of videos and clipping for Cynthia, and I thought, as I keep saying, you hear me right now? But whatever. So I thought, let's just watch it together. Let's just throw the... I've been watching it enough as it is. Why not? I gotta watch it again. Let's watch it together. Let me have the doomed crowd, the doomed crew, join me. So let's get right to it. Let's just throw up the old debate. And, let's Mystery Science Theater it up. Let's do it. Let's just bring him right up here. Now, I don't know.
The New York Democratic gubernatorial debate, sponsored by CBS2.
Now, I don't know if I'm going to get shut down here because of some sort of copyright infringement on YouTube. CBS2's Maurice Dubois. But I shouldn't. I mean, why would that be? I'm watching a news broadcast. But if we do, we do. I'll keep going. And, That's Hofstra University out in Long Island. If you need me to commentate as if I'm Jim Ross or Jerry the King Lawler.
We have asked our audience here tonight to be respectful and not interfere with the debate.
We're going to be respectful and not interfere with the debate, right, guys?
And on Facebook.com/CBSNewYork. And now let us welcome the candidates, Governor Andrew Cuomo.
There's Andrew Cuomo, our governor of New York. And there's Cynthia. Cynthia Nixon.
Closing statements, as you both know. You'll have 2 minutes to answer questions and 1 minute for rebuttals.
Now,
Ms. Nixon, we're going to start with...
We don't need to listen to the opening, so I'll just talk a little bit.
As an extraordinary...
And I'm just going to introduce themselves and give themselves a little bit of background. So, basically, this debate happened at 5 p.m. and was aired 2 hours later at 7. Now, I don't know why. Makes sense to show it in prime time. Obviously, you don't want to air it live at 5 and that be the only showing. But there was no live stream. Why not just show up at Hofstra at 7 and do the debate then? But this was Cuomo's debate. He basically presented this to the Nixon campaign. They've been very public about that. And this was, they were told to take this debate or that's it. This is the one debate they were offered. And so... Obviously, Cynthia Nixon's not going to back down from a chance to debate Andrew Cuomo, who I should mention. In the last time he was running for re-election in 2014, he refused to debate Zephyr Teachout. Refused. So I don't know if it's maybe because he's feeling the heat from Cynthia. There's no way to run away from someone with the profile of Cynthia Nixon, at least compared to what Zephyr Teachout's profile was in 2014. I'm not sure if he feels like with the current political climate, with the Me Too movement, with women running in droves, really, and winning in just winning races beyond beyond what could have even imagined with Trump as the president. I mean, we knew there'd be that blue wave. We knew women were going to run. But man. It's just I think the stats are something like 2 out of every 3 or something like that have won their races. So maybe he felt like that with the climate as it is, he's got to take this debate.
Ms. Nixon, what should give voters confidence that you can run this state?
So I, as I said, I have been a longtime activist for
BMBC asked about the moderators. You know, they're just, I'm not too familiar with them, but they're just, from my understanding, local CBS New York moderators. I mean, I'm not sure, they could be, I honestly did not even look into. I assume they were CBS moderators. They could be from another outlet, but they were pretty, honestly, they were just pretty, you're pretty basic, down the middle moderators. They were good mods.
We took three of them out through opposition research that we proliferated in their districts, and we put the fear of God in eight more.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Governor, if you'd like to rebut.
Yes.
Right. One weird thing, as Andy Cole's pointing out, online during the live debate, like from the 5 to 6 o'clock hour, Cuomo's. Oh wait, hold on one second.
Great American, and the flags in the state of New York will be at half staff.
This is just unbelievable.
Washington does.
I mean, we didn't. That's very nice of Cuomo to have the flags at half, whatever it is, half staff in New York for John McCain. But come on, really? I mean, what is this? Just a buck Trump here? Very nice. You put the flag at half mass, half staff, whatever it is. How nice. And you have to flaunt it in the debate. Come on.
Risk to the state of New York. He is trying to change the rights and values of New Yorkers. And the first line of defense is New York. And the governor leads that fight. And you need to know how to do it.
Governor, thank you. This next one is for you. You have been soft-spoken on national issues, and the president, especially of late, it has led to a whole lot of speculation about your.
And as Andy Cole sang, flags half-hinged, right? So before the debate,
right now, tonight,
like right during the live part of it, from the 5 to 6 hour, Cuomo is like aides and campaign spokespeople are on Twitter, tweeting about how unhinged. That's the word they used. Unhinged Cynthia was coming across. I mean, clearly the way they were tweeting out all specifically that word, they it was their message that they, they agreed to before the debate or during it, whatever. But what a tone deaf, really. Wait, I mean, yes, they were the staff members of his who tweeted this stuff were women as well, but really still just tone deaf. Just regardless, like, really? Unhinged? What else? What other gendered words are you going to use to attack her? I mean, just, come on, let's deal with the substance here. Well, we know why they can't deal with the substance here. The substance here is that Andrew Cuomo is a corporate Democrat at best, a Republican at worst.
Weekly, I welcome it. Know me by my enemies. Someone has to stand up to him. Someone has to stop him. New York has always been the progressive capital. We made it the progressive capital once again. And New York should be the state where we say we are the alternative state to Donald Trump. And we're not going to let him bring his extreme conservative politics to this state. It ends in New York.
So I just want to be clear. You promised to serve 4 more years as governor if reelected.
The only caveat is if God strikes me dead. Otherwise, I will serve 4 years.
The crowd jumped a little bit ahead with that one. Very funny joke, Andrew Cuomo. Too bad the crowd ruined it for you.
I would say that Donald Trump did tweet at you about whether or not America was great, and you backed down pretty quickly. You stood up
right
to him about as well as he stands up to Putin. When it comes
he
to
backed off of that
Trump
America was never
really
great line.
Corrupt,
the one time I was ever like, hey,
House,
Cuomo, wow. He backed off that so fast.
Albany as his main opposition. When you look at, we need to oppose Donald Trump, not just with rhetoric, but with policy. So why, for example, have you not expanded access to driver's licenses to undocumented New Yorkers? If you really care about combating the Trump agenda and stopping the mass deportations of New York's undocumented people, this is something that you could do by executive order,
right?
Something that I have pledged to do.
He can just sign and make it so. Every undocumented immigrant in New York could have a New York driver's license, a New York ID, and the whole issue of them being pulled over and being taken in because they don't have a form of ID, a valid form of ID, just away, gone. So it would solve so many issues that faces undocumented people in this state.
Why, when we have pulled out of the Paris Climate Accords, why have you not fought for the Climate and Communities Protection Act, which would have caused 100% just transition to renewable energy here in New York State, to make New York State a leader?
If you'd like to respond.
There's so many misstatements there, it's hard to do it in a minute. But let's start. Right. On immigration, nobody has stood up to Donald Trump the way I have. I literally, New York State is the state that is suing Donald Trump for ripping babies from the arms of their mother. New York State is the state that...
Again, more things that, that Cuomo, why not just sign the executive order? And yes, right.
Excuse me, I let you speak.
Getting a little bit angry there, Cuomo.
He said we will sue them if they violate any criminal laws in the state of New York. As far as driver's licenses, Elliot Spitzer tried that in 2007. I supported him as the attorney general. We need a law. The legislature won't pass it. As far as protecting a woman's right to choose, I said if Trump overrules it, we're going to pass it in the state of New York. It'll be a top priority.
We need the Republican
Senate to pass it, and corporate Democrats. There's only one corporate Democrat on this stage. It's my opponent.
There's only one corporate Democrat on the stage. That's very true. Second line's wrong, but that one's true.
To Governor Cuomo. Governor, mass transit is a big frustration for many people. Broken down trains, long delays. They all just want to get to work. A year after declaring a state of emergency, are you satisfied with the progress of the rescue plan? And in the meantime, as a gesture of goodwill to commuters, would you consider having the MTA cancel the planned fare hike for next year and have the state make up the shortfall?
Yeah, let's talk about the MTA. It's actually worse than the MTA. We have a crumbling infrastructure all across the state. We have a crumbling infrastructure all across this nation. President Trump said that he was going to fix it with a $1.5 trillion plan. He never did. We now have the most aggressive rebuilding program in this state's history.
Cuomo said the day after Trump was elected how it could be a benefit to him to have Trump in office because they're New Yorkers and they'll get it. They'll see eye to eye on what New York needs.
New Penn Station, new Javits Center, new airports in upstate New York. On the MTA, you're really referring to the New York City Transit Authority, which is the subway system. It has been declining for decades. It is 600 miles of track. We have 40-year-old subway cars. We have 100-year-old switches, which were then doused with Hurricane Sandy. We need a massive investment. I appointed Andy Byford. It's $33 billion. It is a shared city-state expense, Marcia, and I need the city and the state to both fund it, and we need congestion pricing, which will be the long-term funding stream.
But here's the question. Would you consider having the MTA cancel the planned fare hike for next year and have the state make up the shortfall?
I would support canceling the fare hike because the service is not what people deserve. It has to be a joint funding responsibility between the city and the state. By law, just a couple of facts.
It's Cuomo's MTA. He runs the MTA.
New York City owns the New York City Transit Authority. New York City historically has...
Yet Governor Cuomo controls it.
...the level of the state. The state has now funded it four times the level of the city.
The fare hike totals $325 million. Will the state pick up the shortfall?
The state cannot... fund the MTA without
the state funds the MTA. Cuomo, the governor, funds the MTA. He makes the budget.
You don't think you should try to send as a message of good faith to commuters who have been struggling just to do it this one time?
Marcia,
to say
it's not $300 million. I want to fund a $33 billion plan. That's what we need to fix the subways. I don't want to do it.
just
I don't want to do it. That's just leave it like that. I don't want to do it.
We had a civil action plan for $800 million. The city wouldn't fund its head.
In the YouTube comments here, we have seems to be the thing that people want. Want to make a thing, a meme out of Andrew Cuomo being a Super Mario-like character. I guess because of his Italiano.
Would you, if you were governor, delay the fair hike? And would you have the state pick up the $325 million shortfall?
Yes, I think it's unconscionable that we're thinking of, that Governor Cuomo is thinking about raising fares on a system that is working so poorly. As a, someone who is on the subway literally every day, I know firsthand how delays have tripled under Andrew Cuomo, how train speeds are slowing.
It is absolutely true, by the way, that Cynthia Nixon regularly rides the subway like anybody else. It's not like, you know, she started doing it for the campaign or she does it just for the cameras. No, she, it's her mode of transportation. As opposed to Andrew Cuomo, who, he'll go on for a picture or two whenever he needs to. He'll stare at some construction workers building a new subway line or fixing a rail.
The reason that the subway is in such bad shape, yes, we have had... It preceded Andrew Cuomo,
okay,
but he stole hundreds of millions of dollars from the MTA budget for his pet projects that have nothing to do
true.
With it.
True.
He used the MTA. Like an ATM, and we see the result.
Now you see MTA backwards. It's ATM.
To avoid this very avoidable crisis in our New York City subway, and he has done next to nothing.
Just in case you didn't know, what was the play on words there?
Governor, would you like to respond to that?
My opponent lives in the world of fiction. I live in the world of facts.
See, this is what they're going to hammer away at. This is what they've been doing. This is what he does throughout with the fiction and fact. It's a nod to her being an actress. Because apparently an actress can't be serious. It's a posh profession, apparently, to be raised by a single mother like Cynthia Nixon and work up from the very bottom as a teenager, doing multiple shows, basically paying for herself. And making it pretty much on her own. That's the posh life, as opposed to Andrew Cuomo, who was born with a father who is with the governor of New York and basically got handed everything that he's ever had.
Twice what the state has done. I funded four times what the city funded. I'm now saying to the city, let's do it 50-50. Because we need $33 billion. The state can't do it. When somebody says, oh, yes, I'll pick it up, you have to know the finances of the state. We can't pick
Dragon Slayer points out, it's a play on letters, MTA, ATM, not a play on words. Thank you, Dragon Slayer.
Let's do it 50-50. Let's do congestion pricing. That's the honest, truthful answer.
Governor,
on the facts, not on the politics.
Now, for people who are outside of New York, what congestion pricing basically suggests is that certain vehicles should be charged a rate to enter certain parts of Manhattan during certain hours where, you know, it's specifically busy because there's congestion pricing. Too many people are in the city. Too many vehicles are in the city. It's one of the reasons why the mayor had recently signed. I'm sorry, I'm listening here. Right? It's one of the reasons why the mayor signed on to limit the amount of like cars like Uber and Lyft that can be in out on the street at any time. First in the nation to first in the nation to pass that.
How do you plan to make this happen?
So the RAND Corporation also said that it would be a tremendous savings for New York State. We can insure all of our people here by a single-payer Medicare for All system. We can do it better. We can do it cheaper. We can do it with no co-pays, with no deductibles, and 98% of New Yorkers would pay less for their health care than they do now.
The same study also found this would nearly triple the state tax rate for an average family from 6% to 18%. That's a family making roughly $100,000 to $150,000.
If you look at, say, what a family now... Who
she gives a great answer here, so I'm just going to let her run.
The cost of health care for that family is $17,500. The cost between the individual and the employer would be a sixth of that. What we would have is a payroll tax in order to pay for it. It would be taken out of people's payrolls the same way Social Security is taken out. It would be an overall savings for 98% of New Yorkers, and it would be an enormous savings for employers here. It is seen that it could create 200,000 jobs because employers would no longer be responsible for providing health care for their employees. It would drive medical costs and pharmaceutical costs down 40%. We have a million uninsured New Yorkers in the state, but we have millions more who are underinsured, who are one diagnosis, who are one accident away from bankruptcy. This is the kind of change that New Yorkers really care about. This is the kind of change that our Democratic Party should be embracing in order to address the incredible inequality here. Healthcare is a human right. We can insure all of our people, and we can do it at enormous savings, not only to individuals and to employers, but to the state itself.
Governor just Cuomo. Really, Jesus. Going by the Mario theme going on in the comment section right here, let's play the she grabbed that star, play the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. That was Cynthia right there, right?
I did not say I would support him for governor. I said I would not run against him because he is not corrupt like you are.
Okay. Well, then that means you would support him for governor.
No, I would not.
Oh, you
would
support him for governor?
I would not run against him. There is an enormous difference.
Well, then he would be governor, and he is the person who supported the Republican Senate. On single payer, in theory, it is right. It reminds me of the story.
In theory, it's right, but I'm going to go against it.
The operation, you're going to have a long and healthy life. Long-term single payer works. There's no doubt about that. It works easier on a national level to make the transformation. The question Ms. Nixon couldn't answer is, the projected cost, pick $200 million for the transition. That is more than the current state budget. The current state budget is $170 million for everything, healthcare, education, etc. Where do you get the $200 million short term, which would double the tax burden and take money from everything else to get to single payer? California has tried to do it. Vermont has tried to do it. Nobody has done it successfully. It is the right idea. It should be explored. It is hard to do. The real thing we need to do is have a president of the United States who understands that health care is not a luxury. It is a human right, and it has to be done on the federal level. And let's elect a Democratic Congress, and let's force this president.
Listen, I do agree that it's
state level first to show that it can be done, and we can do it
right
here in New York, but we don't have the political.
Listen, I do agree on the federal level. Obviously, it would be the thing to go for, but we just no reason why a state as progressive as New York can't get it done. State as rich as New York, too.
In 2010, you published a pamphlet called Clean Up Albany. Yet it would seem the Capitol could still use a good scrubbing. What believable, achievable solution to corruption will you make happen if you're reelected?
Yes. Marcia, you know the situation you're referring to with Mr. Prococo? That's a painful situation. It's a personally difficult situation.
Prococo was this guy's right-hand man.
For my father when he was 19 years old. He then came to work for me. I remember my father saying when Bernie Kerik got into trouble with Rudy Giuliani, my father was still alive, and we were shocked that how could a police...
Wait, listen to this right here. Catch what he says.
Giuliani, a great prosecutor.
What?
The ability of smart people.
Rudy Giuliani, a great prosecutor. This is our anti-Trump resistance warrior, folks.
I, as Attorney General,
facts aren't facts. Rudy Giuliani, a great prosecutor, says Andrew Cuomo.
I was very aggressive as Attorney General. I put Controller Hevesy in jail, Pedro Espada in jail.
But Governor,
and going forward,
what
I want new ethics
do?
Reform. Here's my ethics plan. No outside income period, full financial disclosure, and campaign finance reform, because we have to take the money out of politics.
Oh,
it's that simple.
Are these achievable?
They are achievable with a majority Democratic Senate and a full majority, Marcia. There has been a Republican Senate in this state
She'll say it.
For the entire history.
She'll say it.
Only 2 years.
I'm not going to interrupt here.
2009, Democratic Senate, Democratic Assembly, Democratic Governor, they passed nothing. No campaign finance, no marriage equality, nothing. So it's not as simple as just electing Democrats. You have to elect Democrats, and then you have to get the job done. That's the art of government. But I can get it done.
Okay, Governor, thank you very much.
Well, it's a different part. Well, basically, you know.
Reform
Cuomo empowers a Republican Senate
promising ever since he ran in 2010
by supporting the IDC.
It's hard to know how to do campaign finance reform. It's to close the LLC loophole by which corporations can donate an unlimited amount of money to political campaigns. But since taking office, Governor Cuomo has received $16 million through the LLC loophole. That's more than every single legislator in Albany
right.
combined.
Right.
To say he is disincentivized to close this loophole would be, would not begin to describe it strongly enough. He shut down the Moreland Commission, which was doing a job investigating corruption when it came too close to him.
Right.
Joe Prococo was his most trusted advisor, and he is heading to jail. Now, to prison. Either Joe Prococo...
Notice that she corrected herself there, though.
That the governor...
She said jail, because, you know, jail is where someone goes, it's a short term. Usually, you know, when they're arrested, someone's put in jail. But she knows the difference, and she knows how important that difference is. It's not just the words you could swap out. Prison is a long term.
You would keep it down, let them speak, let the voters hear everything they've got to say. We've got a lot to get through, so please... Let's hold it down.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got to be quiet, guys. I'm being too loud.
Just a quick response, Governor.
Mr. Prococo did something wrong. It was very painful, and I said I have zero tolerance. We cooperated fully, and he's going to pay his price. And it was a very well-known situation. Everybody agrees I had nothing to do with it.
Period. Everybody agrees. It was a well-known situation, but everyone agrees I didn't know about it.
Legislature to pass it. You don't snap your fingers as governor and it happens.
Well, it will never happen if you empower the IDC.
There it is.
Can you please stop interrupting? Can you please do that?
Stop lying.
Ooh, Cuomo's getting angry. Oh, please stop interrupting. There, I gave you your Mario Cuomo. Well, not Mario Cuomo. Super Mario Cuomo.
Undue influence of corporate donors. My opponent, as a corporate donor to the mayor, called the mayor's office for special favors.
Scott's asking me, what am I drinking?
How am I?
It's just soda, but it's 12:30.
Ask the mayoral debate. If a donor called you, mayor, would you call the Department of Investigations and report that a donor called you?
Cynthia's got just great, great facial reactions throughout this whole debate.
Candidates.
Just fantastic.
Cynthia Nixon called the mayor's office, asked for favors for her friends.
I asked for no
Department
favors for friends,
Investigation?
And I am
this
no
is another great part.
Donor to anyone.
You are a corporation. When you file taxes as a corporation, you are a corporation. You donated to the mayor.
To anyone's political campaign.
You are a corporation.
I donate through my own personal funds.
Are you a corporation?
I am a person.
And you're a corporation.
But I do not ever make political contributions
yes, but you
through
are
my...
Yes.
Just
no,
fantastic.
No, that is categorically untrue. That is and I asked for no favor. What I asked for was for helicopters to stop flying over the Free Shakespeare in the Park.
Oh, that's not a favor?
Oh.
That's not a favor. That's a favor to the people
right.
of New York.
How about for the tea house for Sarah Jessica Parker? That wasn't a favor?
I don't even know
tea
what
house.
You're referring to.
Well, you should read the newspapers.
All right.
Okay. Okay. We're going to move on here. Ms. Nixon.
Yes. Well,
I'm a person. That is just so good.
Marijuana.
And yeah,
ran a campaign contest,
her
away a bomb to
Cuomo's example of Cynthia Nixon being corrupt is that she asked for helicopters to not bother New Yorkers who can go and enjoy Shakespeare for free in Central Park. What corruption.
To do it, but first and foremost, because it's a racial
lock her up. Lock her up.
Across all ethnic and racial lines use marijuana at roughly the same rates, but the arrests for marijuana are 80% black and Latino. We need to not only legalize marijuana here, but when this multi-billion-dollar industry comes to New York, we need to prioritize the individuals and the communities that have been the most harmed by the war on drugs. We need to follow the Oakland model. We need to follow the Massachusetts model and prioritize those communities, not only for licenses, but for small business loans and for other supports. And we need to use the tens of millions of dollars that we will have in revenue to invest in those communities that have been targeted and pay for jobs training and pay for education programs. And we need to parole people who are in jail for marijuana arrests. And we need to expunge their records and use some of this tax revenue for them to re-enter. And what I would say is that we're not talking about children smoking marijuana, right? We're talking about adults, and we're talking about that effectively marijuana in New York State has been legal for white people for a long time, and it's time to make it legal for everybody else.
What do you say to parents who don't want their kids starting to use drugs?
I would say that
tell your kids not to do drugs.
Choose to use marijuana.
Be a good parent.
Legality or illegality, but what we need to stop is we need to stop the
what do you tell? Unbelievable
arrests of people of color for marijuana. It's happening across the country, and it would be a major boon for New York State.
We need to keep weed illegal, and keep throwing disproportionately throwing blacks and Latinos in jail, because a bunch of white upscale white parents don't want to have the talk about marijuana with their kids.
Yeah. Lack of job opportunity. That's where the racial injustice starts. In the criminal justice system itself, it's also prevalent. It's not a coincidence that the majority of people in jail are people of color and poor. That's not a coincidence. That's why I started 15 years ago to work on reforming the Rockefeller drug laws, which finally got done and made a fantastic difference. I worked with Congressman Hakeem Jeffries on decriminalizing low levels of marijuana. The Senate wouldn't pass it, but we worked on it, and that was a positive step. I think legalizing marijuana, I had a report done in January that says it makes sense. New Jersey is doing it. Massachusetts is doing it. 8 other states are doing it.
He's going to spin this as he was ahead of Cynthia, but that's not true. He ordered that report in January because Jersey was looking into it, and he realized the ramifications of our next-door neighbor legalizing marijuana. It wasn't until after Cynthia jumped into the race and came out. Yes, he did. We have the clip, too. We posted the clip.
Yeah. Governor, what do you tell your children about
again,
using marijuana?
Fiction, facts. I did this in January.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
It was before.
She's an actress, folks.
What do you say to your children about using marijuana and drugs in general?
She's an actress.
This is
going to be
a personal decision, I think. I've talked to my children about it. I experimented with marijuana in college. I've talked to them about the choices, the options, the risks.
Marijuana.
And my children are now older, frankly. And
Ryo Nishibashi, I'm sorry, Nishibayashi asks, did Cuomo debate Zephyr Teachout? He did not. He refused to debate her. In fact, there's a famous, there's an infamous video online of her showing up at a march that Cuomo was attending, just trying to meet him and shake his hand. She was already in the race. She was his official primary opponent. And he wouldn't, he had people blocking her off, just wouldn't even acknowledge her existence.
About losing Tappan Zee from the name. What's wrong with making it the Mario Cuomo Tappan Zee Bridge?
All right, I thought this whole part was just unnecessary for this. Who cares about naming the bridge? I get it. I get the issue here, but this is really what you're going to waste the debate time on?
Any time since Robert Moses, believe it or not.
I mean, I think this is...
Toll is going to be the same through 2020.
And then what?
The Tappan Zee Bridge, well, then it's going to depend on the finances overall of the state and the finances of the transportation system.
Yeah, I'm going to talk over to this Tappan Zee Bridge part. Basically, they want to rename the bridge after his dad, Mario Cuomo. Who cares, really? I mean...
You have some bridges at $5. You have some bridges at $7.
Renee says the Wario Bridge. Yes, the Wario Cuomo Bridge, it should be called.
At
at the overall.
Wow. Oxy says tap that Z.
Out of their own pockets.
Should I skip this?
For the next 2 years.
I'll read some comments during this.
So no one has to pay more. And by the way,
bridge in the system that has a total. Where is this Mario? Is it because Cuomo is super, to you non-New Yorkers, Cuomo seems like super like a super like cliche Italian or something? Like a New York Italian? Like a like the literal like mafioso trope? I mean, I guess he does. I mean, I guess I'm just so used to that being literally that's I'm not Cuomo, but that type is part of it is essentially me.
This is going to be a new bridge. And a new bridge we thought deserved a new.
Tappan Zee is a cooler name than the Mario Cuomo Bridge, that's for sure. Well, we also renamed the Queensboro Bridge the Ed C. Koch or whatever his middle name is, the Ed Koch Bridge.
This was not even a discussion at the time. But the point was, it's a
comic book villain looking ass, says Matthias. Let's listen to what Cynthia says here.
Cuomo was a great governor of New York.
Yeah, he's a good governor.
I think that he deserves to have something named after him. Absolutely.
Let's name a post office after him.
A bridge with a Cuomo name when his son is running for re-election is
right.
Necessarily okay.
Right.
Kosher.
What would you name for him then?
I think. I'm sorry.
What would you name for Mario Cuomo? You just said that.
Let's name a street.
For Mario Cuomo.
An alleyway.
What's a fitting tribute to a governor who served so many terms?
What I think with the Tappan Zee Bridge, what happened was this was really pushed through in the dead of night without.
Yeah, Vespa points out on the comments. Naming bridges is easily the most important topic of 2018. Right, right.
About the name change.
Right.
I think that how much the bridge costs was in.
I get why she's going along with these questions, but I think I would have even just been like, really? We're going to waste time talking about this?
This is endemic of how Governor Cuomo rules that there is not a lot of transparency.
People don't care about the naming of the. I mean, just such a specific issue. What a specific New York issue.
Cuomo has redeployed hundreds of New York State troopers from upstate New York to patrol New York City. Bridges, airports, but also parkways and city streets, in addition to the NYPD. Critics say it's not necessary.
Ryo points out Mario Cuomo Sr. was to the left of the current Cuomo.
On the streets of New York City.
10-foot man says, let's rename a cul-de-sac.
At the moment where we can't take our safety for granted, but yes, I think that we have better places to be spending our state revenue.
Does Cuomo really remind everyone in the comments as like of like Wario or something? Waluigi?
I think we need a much greater investment in human service jobs and in infrastructure.
He's more like a Bowser, actually.
I think if you look,
he's like a King Koopa.
Governor Cuomo, as soon as he came into office, he enacted tax cuts on millionaires, on billionaires, on corporations, on banks. And he's cut.
Wario and Waluigi come off as a little bit more sneaky. Bowser comes across as like, corrupt.
And we see this.
When it comes to the troopers, should we send them back upstate to protect communities that feel unprotected as a result of this? Are they duplicative in New York City?
I think that we need to, as a state and as a society, be making less investment in law and order and more investment in things that really make a difference in people's lives, like education and like.
Matthias says Cuomo looks like he'd get beat up by Batman at the beginning. Oh, and Batman Begins. Yeah, he looks like.
In terms of transparency on the Tappan Zee Bridge, we said from.
Like an early on Batman movie villain.
It's on budget, and the tolls would be frozen for.
The guy they throw at Batman in the first 15 minutes to give you some action up front.
Transparency, I think my opponent should be careful with that word. She released 5 years of corporate taxes.
Cynthia red-shelled Cuomo, says Andy Cole.
With no notice. Only Donald Trump has done less transparency on his
taxes. Oh, come on. Oh, come on.
In fairness to Cynthia
Nixon, I think you gave her a misleading question, Maurice. The state troopers are not on city streets doing normal police work.
The state police were there deployed when cashless tolling was brought in.
Well, we've seen them give tickets to people.
They are there in attachment with the cashless tolling. That is the essence of their mission. When we took out the toll booths, people said, well, you can then just drive right through and not pay, and no one will stop you. And the government agencies were afraid of losing resources. That was the point for the state police.
Well, why not NYPD in
the first place?
In that case?
And also, because they're state facilities. Mm-hmm. The state owns them. It's a state responsibility. The state would have lost money. Also, again, fact to correct the fiction.
There it is again.
The most progressive tax code in the history of the state of New York. We have a millionaire's tax. It's the second highest millionaire.
Folks, I don't know if you know this, but Cynthia Nixon is an actress. She was in a number of films, including the very popular Sex in the City television series.
Okay, Governor, we're going to move on here.
Can I just I would like to say that I did release my 1 year of tax returns as soon as I entered the race, which is more than Andrew Cuomo did when he ran in 2010.
Right.
He didn't release it until after the election.
Okay.
I released 4 more years recently. It's a big nothing burger, and that's all he has to say about it.
Okay, we're going to move on.
If it was a nothing burger, you wouldn't hide it.
I didn't hide it.
Maybe Donald Trump's taxes are a nothing burger, too.
Reporters came,
but it's
they
only
looked them
you
over, and they wrote
Trump.
Nothing about it because there was nothing to see.
Right, the New York Post's big takeaway, their headline was, after looking at our taxes, their big headline, the New York Post, let me really drive that home, the New York Post, Rupert Murdoch's New York Post, their headline after seeing the taxes was, Cynthia Nixon spends thousands of dollars, thousands, by the way, thousands, on acting lessons. Shocker. Shocker that an actress would continue to take acting classes to better her craft. That way she does continues to do good work and get hired for jobs. Amazing. Stunning, folks. My mouth is dropped to the floor. My jaw, I'm picking my jaw up off the ground.
Legislature has passed a bill requiring employers.
BNBC, yeah, New York Post is the Rupert Murdoch tabloid-esque New York paper.
The upstate senator who sponsored it lost a son and says no one should have to fear losing their job if they have to need time to mourn. But small business owners say this would cripple them. Are you going to sign this?
It's a bill we're looking at. It's very consistent with our.
Kami asks this live. This actually happened at 5 p.m. Eastern time and was then aired for everybody who wasn't there physically in Hofstra 2 hours later at 7 p.m. And so now we're a couple hours removed from that even. And I'm just, this is a replay.
The issue is critical. If you're an employee, your wife gets pregnant.
A replay that I'm only showing you. This isn't on TV right now or anything.
You say, I'd like to take some time off because I'm going to lose them. The employer right now can say goodbye. And the whole market.
And as Dragon Slayer points out, yes, I am live.
Representing the working men and women of this state. They're the ones who are taking it on the chin. It is the unions who have been taking it on the chin. And the working men and women in organized labor and paid family leave protects them. The bereavement policy will be included or dovetail with that paid family law, and I want to make sure both laws work together.
So let me ask it this way. Is 12 weeks too much, too little, or just right?
Paid family leave will go to 12 weeks. It is 8 weeks now, but we plan to take it to 12 weeks.
And what do you tell business owners who have to lose people for 12 weeks, 3 months?
We say, you know what? Employees have rights. And employees have to be able to live their life also. And if you lose a loved one or you have a child, both ends of the spectrum, we believe employees should have rights. It was difficult, as you said. I fought for it. I got it passed. The business community was opposed to it for the reasons you pointed out. But I do work to protect workers and get rights to workers. And paid family leave is one of those things that does it.
Okay, thank you, Governor. Ms. Nixon?
Yeah, the moderators are sort of playing devil's advocate, I guess you can argue, but this is just, you know, God forbid the business owners have to put some money aside for the care of their workers. Right, right.
Just a few months before he passed the $15 minimum wage, he said it was a non-starter. He said the $13 minimum wage was too much. He was advocating for $10.50. The same is true of paid family leave. The same is true. In his first term, he declared war on unions, which is why the Koch brothers gave him $87,000 when he ran in 2010. Because
right.
They knew that his policies...
Not only the Koch brothers, either.
...were going to benefit billionaires...
A number of Donald Trump financiers have been Andrew Cuomo supporters and have donated money to him. Anthony Scaramucci, by the way. The Anthony Scaramucci was one of the people who ran the Republicans for Cuomo group.
In terms of catering to donors...
That was really cute, trying to compare the Koch brothers to Cynthia Nixon.
So this is not the behavior that I do.
How?
I have no idea what she's talking about when she says labor forced me. I was never at war with the labor unions.
Let me tell you, that first term of Andrew Cuomo, he sure was at war with the labor unions. They did not get along with Andrew Cuomo.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, the next question actually is a labor
BNBC. I heard
goes to you, Ms. Nixon.
I heard that the only reason so many unions support Cuomo is because he is vindictive. Yes, and also what you're getting is these unions, the union leaders who are endorsing Cuomo. This isn't like it's been voted on by the union members.
Says he is against it.
Now this is really good from Cynthia, so I'm going to let her once again just take the floor here.
We're at a moment of unprecedented attacks on labor with the Janus decision, with corporate power unbridled, and our labor unions are the most important counterbalance we have to unbridled corporate power and greed. I think it's really important that public sector workers be allowed to strike. I think the Triborough Amendment was something that allowed contracts to continue, and actually the Taylor laws, which initially outlawed public sector union striking, made no impact. It was the Triborough Amendment. But what we have now is a situation, because of the Triborough Amendment, because of contracts continuing even after they've expired, there is no real way for public sector workers to get a better contract other than cozying up to someone like Governor Cuomo. And I think that labor unions need to have more independence and need to have more. If you look at the teachers' strikes across this country, they were very important. They were wildcat strikes, but those teachers needed to be allowed to strike, not only to feed their families and to get health benefits, but they actually struck also for the kids in those schools whose schools were so deeply underfunded. Kids who literally didn't have desks to sit at. I think we need to return to public sector workers every tool in their toolkit. And when I am...
Even if it paralyzes the city?
Play that Mario grabbing the star theme song.
To strike. Workers will only
She's just
strike when they are so
A plus right here.
As a public sector worker, if you've lost in the trial of public opinion, you have lost. You can only successfully strike when the public is sympathetic to you.
Governor Cuomo, your rebuttal.
Yeah. Organized labor is under attack. That's why I think Ms. Nixon was wrong to attack the TWU and blame them for the MTA construction issues. As far as her idea on the Taylor law, I think it's a terrible idea. If you allow the public sector unions to strike, teachers could go on strike, there would be no school, children wouldn't be educated, and everybody started by saying education is so important, right? Sanitation could go on strike, which we've had in the past, which is even a health concern for the city. The subway, which we've talked about, which is so important, that could go on strike, and then there would be no subway, and it would
Theo in the comments really does have the dynamic, the relationship dynamics of Andrew Cuomo and unions down pat here. Pretty nice contract you got here. Be a shame. Yeah, that's really what it is here.
Trump is the problem. He's going after organized labor.
Because there's never been attacks on unions by either party.
We have to stand up to Trump
before Donald Trump, right? This all just arose just from Donald Trump. Because that's what Cuomo wants to make this all about. It's all about Trump. Ignore everything else. He wants to run against Trump. So that's his spin here. He thinks that's the winning strategy.
And brothers and sisters in the labor union.
Okay, Governor, thank you. Governor, we see the tragedy of homeless people living on our streets every single day. People, many of them suffering from mental illness. Yet police are prohibited by state law from removing them except under the most extreme conditions. Should the law be changed to allow homeless
people... Can you imagine asking this question, though?
Will in order to get help
and unbelievable.
For their safety and for the safety of others.
Do either of you support harassing homeless people?
You cannot incarcerate a person involuntarily or take them into a mental health facility unless they're an imminent risk to themselves or others.
Or even to a shelter.
That is a basic civil rights law. I worked in homeless...
Dragon Slayer points out, yeah, I thought employees had rights, Cuomo.
I started in my 20s helping the homeless. I was President Clinton's Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, working on poverty issues all across the country, and homeless
James
all across
in
the
comments. Workers have the right to go to work and shut the F up.
If the police have to force a mentally ill person into a shelter, because even if you bring them to the shelter, you can't keep them there as a matter of law. That would be involuntary institutionalization. We need a shelter system and a mental health shelter system that works. We know how to do it. They're called safe havens. Mental health professionals who develop a relationship with a person on the street, and slowly you develop trust and you bring them into a safe, clean, decent shelter. Most homeless people leave the shelters because they're dangerous. It's not an irrational act to leave a shelter. In many ways, it's a rational act. The violence in shelters is at an all-time high. People are getting killed. And that's why they're leaving the shelters. We need a better shelter system. We need more mental health beds. We need more community residences for people who are mentally ill on a permanent basis. But you're not going to force people by law, by violating their civil liberties, into a shelter system.
If only we had a governor who could... help make all those things happen for the homeless.
Them into shelters, and we need the state to make a much bigger investment, and the city to make a much bigger investment.
Whoever our governor is should listen to this Cuomo guy here.
But we have such a homelessness crisis in large part because we have such a housing crisis.
Right.
And I don't think it's any coincidence that we have one of the largest housing crises that we've ever seen in this state, when the number one contributor to Andrew Cuomo's campaigns are the real estate industry and corporate developers. We need a governor of New York State who will fight not only to renew our rent laws when they expire next year, but to strengthen them and to expand them, because frankly, gentrification is pushing people out, particularly black and brown people, out of the communities that they have grown up in, and it is an enormous problem, and we need rent protections, not just in buildings built before 1974, but going forward, and not just in the 8 counties in which we have rent regulation now, but across the state. It is the number one issue that people upstate, downstate, talk to me about.
Okay, thank you. Just 30 seconds.
Just
we've got to move on.
30 seconds quickly. There's no doubt that we have an affordable housing crisis. We have expanded the number of units kept in the system under rent control for the first time in 40 years. We have to do more. We have to raise the vacancy decontrol. We have the largest state investment in history in affordable housing, $20 billion. The city needs to be part of it, which Ms. Nixon keeps leaving out. And a big problem is the NYCHA housing is a national disgrace. I know it's politically sensitive, but we're losing thousands of units in NYCHA, and that's one of the main problems.
Okay, thank you, Governor. Now, to both of you, we have a series of short answer questions here. Shorter answers.
I don't know that we can do short answers.
I bet
we'll
you can do it.
We'll try.
Look, I think you have the technology. I'm going to start with you, Biz Nixon. Sports gambling is now active, up and running in New Jersey. Do you support it?
I think it needs to be studied closer, but no. If I had to give a yes or no answer, no, I don't support it.
Governor Cuomo, do you support it? And if so, how soon would it happen in New York?
I support it in the right places under the right conditions, and that's something that has to be looked at and done intelligently so there are not abuses.
How soon before it happens?
Next year.
Okay, the next question is to both of you, but I'm going to start with you, Governor. Do you want Mayor de Blasio's endorsement?
I leave his politics.
For those who don't know, Cuomo and de Blasio don't like each other very much.
Sure, he loves me in a strange sort of way. After 30 years, we have a dysfunctional relationship. He makes his own political decisions, not me.
And that's putting it nicely.
He makes his own political decisions. No, yes or no. He makes his own decisions. I wouldn't tell him what to do.
Ms. Nixon, do you want Mayor de Blasio's endorsement?
This is a race that I am running on my own. This does not have to do with any particular endorsement that I've gotten or haven't gotten, but this has to do with the vision that I'm enumerating for New York State, a vision of New York as a real progressive beacon, not just as a rhetorical progressive state the way we have now.
Is that a yes
or
no?
Good answer there.
It's neither.
Neither.
Right.
Okay, this one's for you. Given your personal wealth, reported to be in the tens
of
millions of dollars.
You want Mayor de Blasio's endorsement.
Which is not true.
It's reported.
You can't say, trust Google.
You say it's not so.
If you released your taxes, we would know.
I've released 5 years.
All right. And considering that you embrace what's known as democratic socialism.
Yes.
Will you forego the governor's salary of $179,000 and turn it back to the state?
Sure.
No salary.
No salary.
Maybe a dollar.
Maybe a dollar.
Okay.
I have another quick suggestion, if I can. If my opponent is a socialist and she's for higher taxes, why doesn't she have her corporation, Fickle Mermaid, make up its mind, dissolve, and stop the corporate loopholes and pay her
fair share? Oh, my God.
I am paying my fair share of taxes. Having a corporation is something that actors have all the time.
Right.
It's like being a small business owner.
The idea that someone who considers themselves to be a democratic socialist.
Men and women don't have corporations, and they don't have the corporate benefits.
This is a fitting.
Small business owners.
This is a fitting last word.
Right.
In fact, a small business owner.
This is a fitting last word. We're going to thank the candidates,
both
of you.
It's the whole, like, if you think, if you like socialism so much, why don't you just give away all your money to the government?
I'm Maurice Dubois, along with Marcia Kramer here.
All right, Maurice Dubois and Marcia Kramer, thank you guys very much.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Here, I'll let the visuals still play because there's a fun little moment where Cuomo goes over and shakes Cynthia's hand when she's clearly not ready. She's not even standing up yet like he is because they're taking the mic off of her. A good guy would have just, you know, a decent person would have just waited. But just shaking her hand right here, right now, is more than he ever did for Zephyr Teachout. So that's how you can tell that he's really feeling the heat from Cynthia, that he feels like he has to come across like a decent person and shake her hand. And according to the comments here, a lot of people are not feeling the whole end there with Cuomo. I would say the first half of this debate was really on fire. The questions asked were much more in line with what people really care about. And Cynthia was just, you know, really just... I mean, the results are coming in about this debate, and poll after poll, the online one, so it's not scientific or anything, but the online viewing audience, even if you just search Twitter, is really coming away with this, that Cynthia Nixon really won this debate. And I don't see how you don't walk away from this. I mean, Cuomo certainly didn't do himself any favors. It's clear as day that this guy has not had a debate since... the first time he ran for governor. It's been like, what? Jeez. What is it? Over 10 years, I think? Just, you know. BMBC points out, Dem Socialist doesn't mean working for free. Oxy mentions how this is so stupid. Theo on his creepy smile. James with, what a stupid thing to come back to, the release her taxes like Trump. Theos is gross. 10-foot man points out what a jerk he sounds like. Oh God, this is insane, says James. This is all that end right there. You know, people, you know, much like, you know, professional athletes, actors are, again, that rare group of workers, unionized workers, who make a lot of money. Like, you know, if you want to make a lot of money in most industries, you got to become you have to own the means of production. You have to be the business owner. But professional basketball player, professional football player, professional golfer, whatever. But the golfers isn't really a sport that I should throw in there. A team sport, you know, like baseball, football. And then here you go with actors, you know, the SAG, Screen Actors Guild. All unionized. All takes care of the workers. They get, not all of them, obviously, but a good number of them make a decent living. Vespa says, that's it. Yeah, it was an hour long. A little bit less than an hour, actually. 55 minutes after, you know, intros and stuff like that. Dragon asked me, Matt, if you have to give me a doomed pronouncement on either campaign, who would it be? Well, you know, as I've said 100 times on this show, full disclosure, I am working with the Cynthia Nixon campaign. My opinion is not based on that. In fact, the reason I, and you all know this from my long career in progressive talk and shows and news and journalism, that, you know, clearly I'm on board with the campaign because I support her regardless. I was on board the second I heard she was running, before I even got involved. I've known Cynthia Nixon as an activist for a long, not known her personally, but I've known her as an activist, like not just an actor. I knew she was an activist. I knew she was very involved in, especially in New York, at the education. After this debate, man, let me tell you, these next 2 weeks are going to be, I think this debate, I've been really feeling the momentum for a few weeks now. The mood's slowly been changing. But after this debate, I think the polling's wrong to begin with, but if there's not some sort of bump that we see from it, I'd be shocked, because the far and away, I haven't seen many people who aren't involved in purposely trying to spin it for Cuomo. I haven't seen many people say that Cuomo came out of this the winner. When's the primary, asked Kamkami. The New York primary. Now, first of all, let me say this, just to give you an example of how messed up things are in New York. For the people who complain that in 2016, when people found out, mostly Bernie Sanders supporters found out they couldn't vote because of New York's strict voting rules, when people said that's not real voter suppression or whatever, let me tell you what New York did this year. So the federal primaries for, you know, what you saw Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the day she won, was held in June, a Tuesday in June. So they specifically separated them so there couldn't be any bump. Can't make life easy for New Yorkers and let them go to the polls that one time to vote for all that year's elections. So they split that up there. And let me also remind you that this is in addition to the fact that if you were not a registered Democrat, if you were registered to a party, but were not a registered Democrat, you had to make that change, I think about 6 months ago. Otherwise, sorry, folks. You missed out. And then, and then on top of that, this is what happened here. Now, primaries, as you know, are usually held on a Tuesday, right? Well, the state primaries in New York State this year are held on a Thursday. And why is that? Well, because It's going to make things a little bit more confusing. Why not, right? So September 13th, it's a Thursday. That's when you can vote for your New York State primary elections. That's when the state Senate races are running. That's when we can get rid of some IDC people. That's when we could vote for Zephyr Teachout for Attorney General. Julie Salazar, that's when she's running. That's when you could vote for her state Senate race. Julia Salazar, I should say, excuse me. It's 1 a.m. You can see my... Yeah, but that first half of that debate was really strong. And then I think there's the debate questions, the function of the questions they asked in the second half, that sort of slowed everything down. It just wasn't as... I guess, you know... I don't want to use the word exciting because it's not just about that. But yeah, it's part of it. And I think it sort of... pushed that second half exactly the way you saw it play out. Yeah, it was short. Vespa asked if it seemed short. Vespa also says, by the way, I appreciate and love your podcast, Matt. Why, thank you, Vespa. And 10-Foot Man says, I agree. This is a great podcast, in my honest opinion. Well, I hope your honest opinion is also shared by many others. And let me plug the show right here. So this is a special episode of Doomed. Well, anyway, I owed you guys an episode from... last week, as you know, I it was my birthday, and then I found out some medical news about my cat, which really, you know, and then I was just busy, came back from a short couple of days away with the kid, and so I owed you guys a show. But anyway, the way this show is the first ever episode of Doomed, episode 30, where I didn't have a guest. And really, I really decided to do this last minute. I teased it the last episode that this was a possibility. And I thought, you know what? Why not do it? And then I almost didn't because I felt, you know, I'm a little tired. I'm not going to be on the top of my game. But I thought, you know what? The type of show it's going to be, I shouldn't be interrupting that much anyway. I should minimal commentary and let people watch the debate. You know, butt in where it's necessary. Provide a little bit of a little bit of play-by-play like good old JR. A little bit of color. I don't want to say like a Jerry Lawler because I'm not. This is a progressive show, folks. This is a leftist show. But I don't know, like a Booker T, I guess, like a King Booker. Can you dig that, sucker? All right, I'm gonna wrap up here in a second. Let me just go through some more comments. James says 100% the podcast is a must and thanks for doing this tonight, Matt. No problem. You know, really a part of it was it came to me right before, about a half an hour before I went live that, you know what? People who aren't in New York probably missed this. So let's give them a chance to see it. Maybe they'll get, if you thought Cynthia Nixon did a great job, let me pull myself up here in full screen. I didn't realize I wasn't full screen. If you thought Cynthia did a good job tonight, and I don't see how you don't, didn't think that, but you support Cynthia Nixon, then get on the phones. You know, really, Cynthia can use your help. CynthiaForNewYork.com. Sign up. You don't have to be in New York State to do it. Let's make this happen. We saw it happen in Florida. We just saw the underdog with Andrew Gillum. He was third in the polls. Bernie endorsed. And in a matter of weeks, he pulled off the ultimate upset and is now going on to the general election to become the governor of Florida. We could do this in New York. The difference here, though, is that for Gillum, he's got his hands tied with two big races. You know, it was a big thing to... It was a challenge to win the primary, and it's going to be another challenge to win the general because it's Florida. It's not a sure thing. Here, If Cynthia Nixon beats Andrew Cuomo in the primary, barring any third-party shenanigans with like an Andrew, with like a Michael Bloomberg run or something like that, a spoiler. And even then, the odds of this not happening is are low, I believe. Cynthia Nixon will be the first ever woman governor of New York, the first ever LGBT governor of New York. And we will have a real, true progressive in Albany. And someone who's embraced the term democratic socialist. Someone who's who has promised on day one to take care of anything she can be made to happen with the stroke of a pen by executive order. Let's do this. All right, patreon.com/MattBinder if you enjoyed this. Listen, if I hit that halfway point to the goal, there'll be more stuff like this. It won't just be the approximately 4 episodes a month that everyone gets for free. But that only happens because of you Patreon subscribers, you patrons. Patreon.com/MattBinder. I'll do more stuff like this. In fact, I'm thinking as we get closer to the election, the midterms, and then continuing on to 2020, this could possibly become a regular thing, multiple shows a week, because there'll be so much to talk about, so much to cover. Let's go, folks, in the words of Super Mario Andrew Cuomo. And people talking about other podcasts, yeah, and the comments right now. Matt Lex, Literary Hangover, Antifada, which is Jamie's, the Michael Brooks Show, which is, I don't know who, what kind of loser runs that show. it's Miranda, right. That's another reason to support Cynthia Nixon and get on the phones for her. If you're not a subscriber to the YouTube channel, let's get me to 1,000 YouTube subscribers. I feel like I'm on the cusp here, folks. 1,000 YouTube subscribers, youtube.com. Actually, not even. Go to doomed.tv. It'll take you right to the front page of this YouTube channel. Doomed.tv. Can't be any easier. Also, leave an iTunes review. I'll be putting up this show as a podcast. But it'll also be up here, obviously, on YouTube to watch if you missed out on it live. Vispa says he just subscribed. Thank you. Everyone's asking about my cat, Vispa 10-foot man. Yeah, she's doing all right now. I don't know if it's just temporary because of the medication or if she's actually getting better. I mean, she'll never probably be back to 100%, but she's doing really good right now in terms of where we could have been from what I was told how bad it could possibly be. And then we also have the elderly dog that I've told some of you about. Yeah, you know, these are just all... the cat was unexpected, but, you know, try to prepare for these things as best you could. Brian says, if Matt doesn't do a spin-a-rooney, I'm never watching again. Listen, if I had a camera set up where you could see my full body, if it was far enough back, I'd give you a spin-a-rooney right now. But you'll just be seeing my feet in the air, probably, if even that, at this point. Vispa says, I hope Beto beats Cruz so bad. Of course. Yeah, we'll talk about that more. But man, the Texas GOP, real weird attack angle where they're showing cool hip video pictures of Beto as a college-age kid, I guess. But he's like in a band, looking cool, chilling. I mean, really? That's your attack angle? I mean... people signing up for Nixon's page. Yes, please go there. Sign up. Volunteer. Let's make this happen. All right, everybody. Patreon.com/MattBinder. iTunes review. Subscribe to the YouTube page at YouTube at doomed.tv. As always, the show can be found at doomedpod.com. That's for the podcast. I'll be setting up probably like a real website soon, like a site where it actually just everything's there. Also, there's the Discord. There's a Discord now. There's a Discord where I jump in and talk to you guys, my Patreon subscribers. I'm not sure if it's also open to... I have to talk to Theo and the guys who set it up for me. And James. Figure out just who can go into the Discord. But hope you all enjoyed the debate tonight, everybody. Sorry if I'm a little bit tired. It's like... What, I must be on 16 hours now of doing various things, work related. And I'll see you all next time. Thank you, 10-Foot Man. Great show. Thank you. See you guys all next time. Yeah, and then Renee points out as a punk rocker, yeah, that must be completely making you not relating to Beto. Right, yeah, I mean, who do they think comes out to vote for progressives? I mean, what? All right, everybody. See you all next time on Doomed.